Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about failed and forgotten comic book movies, where we watch a forgotten superhero movie and decide, does this belong in the Phantom Zone to be forgotten for forever, or out and about for everyone to rewatch and remember fondly, Birdo? I mean, my name's Arnaldo, and Birdo, what, introduce yourself. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm Birdo, and we're going to be talking about Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
That's what I was doing. I was going to ask you about the movie.
I saw where you were going.
Okay. Yeah, so we're not watching a movie so much as we are reviewing one in theaters. This is the latest and maybe the penultimate entry to the DCEU.
As we know it. Well, what's it going to be called after Flash?
Well, it's still the DCEU now.
That's better.
I mean, yeah. You know, the DCEU, that was never official.
That's just what people called it.
Someone just coined it that and it just stuck. And then one time DC was like, hey, by the way, that's not what it's called. And people were like, okay, cool. So what is it called? And they're like, oh, we don't know.
It's better than Spunk.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sony Pictures, Universe of Marvel Characters. What's that called now? They changed it again, right?
I think it's like SPU now or something. So
Sony Pictures
I
Universe.
Like, I think it's like Spider-Man movie universe or I don't know, SMU? It doesn't matter.
We'll just call it the Venomverse.
The Morbiverse.
Ooh, I like that.
So, guys, we recently watched the 1978 TV show Shazam.
Yes.
That's out. Check that out because it's relevant to this, obviously. It's one of the two other times that Shazam has, or Captain Marvel, has been on film.
That's true.
In that case, TV. But he was also in a serial from like the 1940s that we may or may not watch.
Which may or may not actually be the first comic book serial on screen.
Did I say it was last time? I don't remember what I
thought. I said it was, and then I was like, did it predate the Captain America ones? Because I thought those were the first.
It definitely did.
Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't decide, or I couldn't remember if it predated Superman in any way. Yeah.
Live action, maybe.
Yeah. So before we get into this, that episode, we went into some background on Shazam, formerly known as Captain Marvel. So like, again, for like the 10th time we mentioned on this podcast, if you didn't know, Shazam used to be called Captain Marvel up until kind of recently.
Arculus, are they deleting Shazam in the new DC universe? Unclear.
Okay, so that's the thing.
But James Gunn seemed to imply that he was sticking around.
Well, the thing is, I don't think, and we never talked about this because it just put me in a bad mood and I didn't want to talk about it. But we're not really sure what James Gunn's DC universe actually implies.
Because all he said is what projects are coming out. Yeah, that's it.
But they're kind of random projects. There's no like cohesiveness in it yet.
That we know of.
Like,
but,
there's no,
yeah,
like, Justice League movie announced or anything like that. So
it's, we don't know what they're building towards.
If anything. That's the other thing.
Well,
like,
he specifically called this, like, this was going to be chapter one.
Okay.
So maybe just new beginnings, introductions. I feel like we've done this a million times, but here we are again.
The universe has never been rebooted. You say that like we've had four reboots.
I feel like we keep starting from the beginning, though.
But it hasn't. See, that's the thing. And
here's the thing, though. With the DC movies, that's what it feels like, though,
but
every time.
Why?
I don't know.
It's because you're too in tune with, like, the news. That's why. Again, and I've said this before, if you take, like, these movies, and this being one of them, and you just put them all on DVD, and in 30 years you show them to your kid, and you're just playing, you would never know that all this happened in the background.
Are we showing them both versions of Justice League?
No.
Because that movie was literally remade.
Okay, other than that one. Anyway, guys, no background on this because
we covered it.
We've done it. Yeah. So go back to the Shazam episode and the Black Adam episode also.
Yeah, we talk about both of those.
We talk about these characters ad nauseum. So we're going to do a no spoiler review. We're just kind of share our thoughts and stuff. So if you haven't seen the movie, you're safe. And then we will announce when we're going to get into spoilers, right?
And then you're free to turn us off.
To get out of here.
Yeah. if you don't want anything spoiled.
Bookmark the spot and then come back later after you see the movie. Yeah. If you see the movie, a lot, or if you don't care. A lot of people aren't seeing this movie.
Yeah, and that's very evident with the box office numbers.
So, thanks for bringing that up. Over the weekend, this movie made like $30 million.
Is that less than Morbius?
Surely not. I don't know, maybe.
It might be.
For all I know. But it's 43% less than the first movie did.
That sucks.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Especially since the first movie was also very well reviewed.
Well, I mean, this one isn't like super well reviewed. It's got a lot of positive buzz, but at the same time, like, it got like barely a failing grade on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a 58, and you need a 60 to be really fresh.
Morbius made $39 million opening weekend.
Yeah, so it's pretty close.
I think Morbius beat this. What was this? 30 what?
Birdo's number one fan forever. Was
whoa, Morbius is $39 million. Whoa! Hey, my number one fan's here.
Arculus is shook.
I'm allowed to have fans.
Anyway, and that really sucks. And I feel like a lot of it, I mean, people like to point fingers and whatever, that a lot of people are saying it's superhero fatigue and yada yada bullshit. I think I've got a couple theories as to where this comes from. Number one, Black Adam didn't help at all.
Black Adam might have made everything worse.
Yeah, because if Black Adam had been really good, then people would have been excited to come to this knowing it's the same characters from a different perspective, right?
Yeah. Well, it also didn't help that in the marketing for Black Adam, The Rock was just shitting on Shazam all the time.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That sucks. What an idiot. I hate him.
Because, you know, I'm Black Adam. I could kick the shit out of Shazam.
I've gone from having mixed opinions on The Rock to just be like, oh, fuck that guy. Fuck him. He's had enough. He's had enough stars.
His
ego's
gotten too big.
Yeah. He had his time. It's over. I'm moving on.
I think he peaked in like 2004.
He was stretched thin these last few years by being in everything.
His past couple decades.
Yeah. It's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of marketing, I think, like we're saying in the chat. Also,
marketing was terrible.
We're live. If you haven't noticed, we're live on Twitch. We're live every Monday. Come hang out with us next Monday and be a part of the podcast, like all our good friends here. Twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. The marketing wasn't great, right? The trailers, I thought, were not that good. I remember seeing the trailers and thinking, this looks very generic.
Oh, we had friends that didn't want to see the movie because of the trailers.
Yeah.
They had cringe jokes in them.
Yeah, but you know what? In the movie, I didn't think those jokes were that bad.
Well, here's the thing. The one joke that everybody hated in the trailer, it's not even a joke, it's just a stupid line where he's like, I punched a dragon.
Not
in the movie. Yeah. And that's not a spoiler.
But that's the point of those trailers. It's like, they don't want to spoil anything, so they're going to use takes that aren't in the film.
Well, then they released a TV spot that spoiled everything.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that in spoilers.
David S. Sandberg was very upset about that.
Seems like he's very upset about how this whole movie was handled.
He's very upset.
He said he's done with superhero movies for a while.
He seems more depressed. I don't know if you've seen. He went on a whole thing yesterday or this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Basically, he was like, he's kind of tired of like this culture where like people on Twitter are going to like misconstrue everything he says. And they're going to point fingers.
Did he say this on Twitter?
Yes. And then there was like a Reddit post based on his tweets that the headline was something like, David S. Sandberg blames Shazam failure on fans. And then he shared that.
That's exactly what he was talking
about. Exactly. And he's like, do you see what I'm talking about? And he shared that on the thread. And it sucks because, like, he is one of the most, like,
he's a good director.
He's a great director. And he and James Gunn are probably the two directors who are most online, I think.
Yeah. And the most, like, in touch with reality.
And they'll answer any question. Yeah. They'll talk to fans. Yep. They're very open.
That's something I really like about both of them, actually.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, like, he did, like, an interview. It was either, like, an interview or, like, his own personal YouTube videos. But he did a lot of like behind the scenes stuff on the first Shazam movie, which I thought was super interesting. And like when people like point out weird things in the movies and he'll like over explain.
Right.
So like there was he talked about the Superman thing from the last movie.
The headless Superman?
Yeah. And how I was like, well, we didn't know that Henry Cavill wasn't going to be there. They were expecting him because I guess the idea was you write out the scene for Henry Cavill, and then it's some producer's job to make him show up.
They didn't sign
the deals, to do all the stuff. And obviously that didn't happen. So what they do on the day is that they film a double.
Like a stand-in.
It's just a stand-in, yeah. And sometimes they're going to use the stand-in for certain shots that you don't see his face anyway. But then like on the day, you need to have everything ready for when the movie star gets there. You don't waste their time.
Right.
Right? And then they just didn't get to do that, and so they just cut his head off.
So, like, I don't know if you know, like, what went wrong with, like, trying to get Henry over there. Was it just
It's money. It's money because they don't want, they never, you know, between Henry's lawyers and them, they have to agree to like a contract. Probably also, and I wouldn't be surprised if Henry was just asking for a movie because we never it's got like, a Man of Steel.
Can I get another Superman
like,
movie?
can we pen the deal for a Superman movie, not just all these cameos?
Because that's pretty much all he did after Man of Steel is just glorified cameos.
Yeah. And then kind of ironic is that he also filmed a cameo for this movie and it was cut. So,
but they kept the Black Adam one?
So, well, yeah, because that came first. After the Black Adam thing where that showed Henry Cavill,
right.
Obviously DC was restructured slightly before then, right?
It was like right before that movie came out.
But James Gunn was hired after that movie came out.
Yes.
So by the time James Gunn is hired and they make all these decisions without consulting him, obviously they couldn't. Like it just doesn't add up. And then they go with no Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill had filmed more than just that one cameo. He had filmed like either two or three.
Okay.
I want to say it was two. And it might have been either for this movie or for The Flash.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was cut. Just for both.
Yeah. Honestly. And it's cut. Yeah. So fuck off, right? Fuck me. Yeah.
It's okay. He's got his Warhammer project now, and I'm sure that's all he ever actually wanted.
I mean, I guess. Sure. So let's get into this movie. Directed by David S. Sandberg, like I mentioned. Stars Zachary Levi, Asher Angel, Jack Dylan Grazer, Rachel Ziegler, Adam Brody, Ross Butler, DJ Cortrona. I might have spelled that wrong, actually. Gracie Caroline Curry, Megan Good. You remember Megan Good from like Nickelodeon back in the day?
I think so.
She was in Cousin Skeeter. You remember Cousin Skeeter?
Yes.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
She was in a bunch of stuff.
With the puppet.
Yeah. She was kind of like she was like an America's Sweetheart kind of girl back in the day. Everyone had a crush on her. She is 41. She does not look
it
in this movie.
She looks like 28.
She looks incredible in this movie. And Lucy Liu here is another one that also looks great for her age.
Lucy Liu's always looked great,
though. She's in her 50s now.
Yeah.
Jimon Hounsou and Helen Mirren.
All right. The cast for this movie is pretty fucking incredible.
I think it's a really good cast.
I think everybody was fantastic.
I think one of the problems this movie has is it's stacked with so many cast members.
Still too stacked.
That they don't, a lot of them don't get a lot of screen time.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. But the little screen time that some of them do get, like, they still kill it. Like, I have no complaints about any of the acting in this movie at all.
No, I think they're all great. But again, to my point, you've got a team of six, right?
Yeah.
And that comprises of twice as many actors.
Just 12 actors.
Well, it's 11 because Grace Caroline Curry, who she plays Mary Marvel.
That's right.
She gets to play both. It's not called Mary Marvel in this, but that's her comic book name. Yeah, she's just Mary. Yeah.
But yeah, in the first movie, she was different when she transformed. But in this one, they just kept her the same
actor.
Good choice because she might be one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
Oh. Yes, I did like Mary Marvel a lot.
Yeah.
I like that her costume looked incredible, too. It's one of the rare occasions where I see something and I'm like, this works best because you kept the really old school design from the fucking 40s.
Because mm-hmm.
She was introduced in like 1941 or something like that. And she's got this like mini skirt, but for whatever reason, it translated really well, I think, to film.
Yes. I think all of their costumes look pretty good.
They do. They got rid of the hoods. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
But I kind of like
they
the
look
hoods.
A little less wizard-like. But.
Yeah. I love seeing a accomplished actress like Helen Mirren in a silly superhero movie, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Lucy Liu, too.
No, but Lucy Liu's done a ton of action. She was in fucking Charlie's Angels. She's not above this.
Yeah. True.
But Helen Mirren, like, come on. She's got Academy Awards.
She's prestigious.
Yeah. we were talking about Gracie Caroline Curry. So she did play Mary Marvel in the last one, but there was another actress who played her child form.
No, but she was the child.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, so someone else played Mary Marvel. She was just Mary.
Oh, interesting. So the idea is that you're supposed to, like, grow up. Like, that's who you're going to look like when you're older. So eventually, like, if Shazam just said Shazam and transformed back into Billy Batson as an adult, he would look like Zach Levi.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying? But
he's going to become Chuck.
Right. But here's something. Asher Angel's already 20 years old. And it's kind of weird that, like,
he doesn't look 20.
I think he's fine because he's supposed to be 18 in this movie.
Or turning 18, like about to be 18.
Or turning 18, yeah. So he's 17.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think he looks a part. I mean, yeah. he got a little muscular, but you think he looks
a
part.
He's ripped.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense to me. I guess it makes sense, but like, I don't know. Literally supposed to be a kid in the movie. He's like jacked.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to what I thought a few years ago when they casted him, that I thought they casted too old. He was like 15 when they casted him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought you were building this for some longevity, like get it like a 9-year-old or something, you know, so you can have 3 movies or 4 movies before it's weird that he's like already an adult. And they're probably not making any more of these,
unfortunately.
But again, status unclear. But like, you know, if they make another one in 3 years, he's going to be fucking 23 years old. So do you
he could still Tom Holland could do it. He could do it.
At that point, do you just do Zach Levi, do both? But when he's regular Billy, you de-age him a little bit so he looks a little bit younger.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's what they...
Because Zach Levi's like in his 40s or whatever.
That's what would make more sense to do.
Okay.
But I feel like the guy that plays Billy is good too.
And that's the other thing. I feel like he was really not in this... He didn't get a lot to do.
He was mostly Shazam.
It was mostly Shazam, yeah. Do you feel, because I saw this a lot, like the character's supposed to be like 18 or whatever, is Zach Levi still playing it too young and goofy?
I don't think so.
I think he...
I think that's how 18-year-olds act.
Yeah, like, I think spend some time with, like, a high schooler.
They're immature.
Yeah, he's just immature, that's all. And when I rewatched the first movie, like, a few years back, I thought the two actors did a really good job of, like, playing the same character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they probably spent a lot of time together. They read the same lines to each other, so they can kind of get those...
Like, this is how I would say it.
Yeah, those behaviors the same or whatever. I'm buying it. I didn't think he was too like young or goofy or anything like that.
No. And obviously the rest of the family was great.
All the other same actors, which really kind of blew my mind that they got
that
everybody
they managed
back.
To keep that many people. Yeah.
For whatever reason, I expected like Darla to be played by somebody else because she was like a little girl.
I'm happy they didn't recast the parents.
Yeah. Well, no one. I guess other than Mary was half recast by just kicking out one of the girls.
Yeah.
it's not a real recast, but all right, so no spoilers. Give me some more of your thoughts.
I mean, this movie was a lot of fun, honestly, and it managed to hold my interest the whole time where I didn't even realize like that much time had passed. It's like a 2-hour movie, but it didn't feel like it to me at all.
Mm-hmm. I think the pacing has a lot to do with that. I think this is a very well-paced movie.
Yeah.
It took its time in a lot of scenes, which I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. It broke up the action really well. I don't mean to steal your thunder. I'm just saying.
No.
I think this is a really, for like a normal kind of run-of-the-mill superhero movie.
Yeah.
I think this is perfectly paced.
It felt very traditional superhero, I would say in a good way.
Yeah.
I will say, while I do think this movie is technically better in like pretty much every way, I think, I don't know, it's a little bit of charm lost in comparison to the first one.
Is that the Christmas element, though?
I think it might be the Christmas element, though, yeah.
Because you love that Christmas movie feel of that first one.
I do.
Yeah.
But, like, not to knock this movie down at all, because I really did like it.
I think this is the definition of, like, what a fun superhero movie should be. It doesn't take itself too seriously, which I think is so fucking important right now because there's so many fucking superhero movies coming out. It's mostly Marvel, right? And because like Marvel has had this like phase 4 and 5 problem where they want to go back to basics. They want to reestablish a new saga.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they keep on trying to up the ante while like, and I think you've lost a lot of sense of like tangibility. Like I feel like a lot of these characters aren't relatable anymore. Like when we saw just Ant-Man, it's like, it's just a big CGI fest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the end of Ant-Man, I liked Ant-Man, but at the end of, and we're talking about Quantumania, by the end of it, I'm just kind of like, what was any of that? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
I can sort of get what you're saying. Because a lot of people, their complaints about Marvel movies will be like, oh, they're too goofy. They're trying to do too much humor. I think the issue is they're trying to be serious and funny at the same time. Then they throw a joke in that undercuts the seriousness of what's happening in the story. And they've always kind of done that. It's just been a little bit more apparent lately. At that point, it's like, all right, guys, pick a lane. Like, is this movie going to be a lighthearted one or is this going to be more serious? Like, and this one, like, I'm talking about Shazam, Fury of the Gods now. I think overall it's pretty lighthearted, but it's got its dark moments. But, like, it's not trying to lean too hard into it.
Okay. Where were the Dark Moon? No, don't tell me. Spoilers.
They're spoilers.
I think what really Sandberg really nails here is that he knows how to put together a movie. He knows his film very well, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it's a movie made by committee. It feels like you've got one man saying, here's my favorite thing about all the action movies that I like. Now I'm going to make my own. Okay. Right? He fully understands how to make a movie, I feel.
You think just production of this movie is a little more cohesive?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Which is funny considering how in shambles WB has been.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we just came off of Black Adam. This is the polar opposite of Black Adam.
Right.
In every way.
Maybe they just left him alone, let him do his own thing because they're just like, oh, we're fucking done with this anyway.
I think to a certain extent they have to because it's like a New Line Cinema production. I think because it's literally under a different studio. Even though it's still owned by...
They couldn't interfere as much.
So apparently, like, New Line had a licensing thing with Shazam for years because they were going to make a Shazam movie.
Okay.
It's very similar to, like, Universal and Hulk.
Okay, yeah. Don't those rights expire soon, though?
Something like that, yeah. The first Shazam movie was made, like, kind of in conjunction, but, like, WB still distributes the movie, but the studio that makes it is New Line Cinema, so there's some profit sharing going on.
It's closer to a Hulk... type thing than a Spider-Man and Sony type thing.
But everyone's playing kind of nicer with each other, and so I think to a certain extent some of those WB people have slightly less control over it.
Well, it kind of shows. Maybe. Well, the case,
and that's the thing, like,
because the first Shazam was also what I think a standout film in the the DCU.
Yeah, but like Black Adam, like, you can see its production woes on the screen the entire time. The editing, the CGI, the acting,
the ego,
the weird dialogue that they use, the delivery that seemed very kind of like it's a rehearsal. I can't stress how bad the edit was. You know, a lot of story things that don't really add up. This is the complete opposite.
This feels very polished, very well put together movie in general.
It doesn't break any molds by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But it's executed very well. I think what really makes this movie stand out for me is that it's a tried and true superhero formula.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the plot's not anything that's going to, like, break your brain, but he executes and he nails it, I think.
I can agree with that.
The characters are well handled. The themes are really good. The themes in this movie are very much a direct sequel to the themes in the last movie. The characters have grown in a way that's very believable. And very interesting. Like, this is exactly the situation you would expect Billy Batson, the foster kid, to be in after he's been accepted into a foster home and is kind of healing from the fact that his mom abandoned him.
His mom abandoned him.
Right.
System abandoned him.
Yeah.
The city abandoned him.
Right. Yeah.
Or rejected him.
Oh, yeah.
Which, actually, that little joke brings me to the humor, which I think landed very well in this movie.
Oh, God, this movie was hilarious. I thought it was so much funnier than... And I hate to keep on comparing it to Ant-Man, but that's like the thing that just happened like 2 weeks
ago
or whatever.
Right, that's the last newest movie. Yeah.
It's so much funnier. And Ant-Man's a funny property.
Well, also, Quantumania was funny. Don't get me wrong, but just something about the way these jokes landed, it was just clever humor in this.
It's very witty. It's a
very witty movie, yes.
It's a very meta movie, too, and I want to get into that in a little bit. But this movie knows exactly what it is and where it stands in the DC universe, what this character has been for the last fucking 80 years, right? And there's a lot of fun meta jokes there, but let's keep going. Do you just want to get into spoilers?
I think we could get into spoilers. Yeah, that way we can freely just talk about whatever we want.
Let's not dick around anymore. From here on in, guys, spoilers. So again, one more time, if you haven't seen this movie, you can stop right now. If you don't care, whatever. Again, not enough people went to see this movie.
No, it's tragedy, very poorly. Actually.
There was also a meme I saw that was like DC fans online. It's like a big crowd of people like screaming and cheering.
And yet they don't go to the theater.
And then next to it, it said like DC fans in the theater and it was like empty. It's like, you want to talk about this online nonstop? Go see the fucking movie.
Well, also, a lot of the people complaining about the movie are also complaining about James Gunn, but also this movie had nothing to do with James Gunn.
Right.
And if anything, this movie doing better would have probably helped your case.
Yeah. Again, then the reboot status is all unclear, and maybe it's a soft reboot. Maybe it's a reinvent. Who knows?
Right.
Like, a lot of things could have happened. If anything's going to keep Shazam out of the greater DC universe, it's going to be the box office, not James Gunn.
Yeah, because as far as I know, James Gunn wanted to keep Shazam.
Yeah, so let's just see where this
goes.
Good
job, guys.
So let's get into spoilers. The trailer spoiled the fact that Wonder Woman is in this movie.
Yeah. So which scene did it spoil?
I didn't watch it, but I saw a screenshot.
It wasn't the dream sequence that he was dreaming about Wonder Woman?
It might have been, because what I saw was just like the back of her boot.
Well, I mean.
So I think those same shots are in both of them. Where she kind of walks up slowly and
okay. Superimpose the wizard's face.
Jimon Hansu, yeah.
But yeah, Wonder Woman's in this movie. Played by Gal Gadot.
Yeah, Gal Gadot's in it. The thing David S. Sandberg was talking about online was people were accusing it to be deepfake.
Oh, really?
Quote unquote deepfake. So not necessarily that like Gal Gadot's face is completely fake, which is what a deepfake is, but that it was CGI'd onto like, it was superimposed onto someone else's body. And again, I love that he would just go online and answer the questions, right?
Yeah.
He went on deep about how there is a stand-in, but their job isn't to like replace the actor and then have their head stitched in later. It's for blocking. It's for like secondary shots.
Yeah,
it's
right.
For reshoots. It's for all this other stuff.
Like all the same stuff he explained with the Superman thing.
He compared it to that, which is why I was alluding to more the Superman thing than the Gal Gadot thing. Oh. And then Gal Gadot shows up the next day or whatever, and they film her.
Okay.
And then they go back and forth. But that the stand-in did obviously do the dream sequence,
which was actually pretty funny.
Okay. And again, that's all a joke about Superman and his head being cut off.
Yeah. It's like a meta joke.
It's so meta. Yeah. This movie is so meta. And again, Sandberg had no control over Henry Cavill not being in that first movie. They were ready for him to be in it, and then they couldn't. And the best they could do was to cut his head off frame and kind of wrap at that as a joke, you know?
Yeah.
And so here he is openly making fun of that, because
in his own movie.
I thought in that scene, I thought we weren't going to see her face the entire time, because for like three or four shots, Zach Levi is talking to her
and she's not saying anything.
She's looking away. Her head is off frame. And I'm like, oh my God, this is one big meta joke and we're never going to see her face. And it's not going to be because Gal Gadot couldn't make it. It's because it's making fun of the Superman thing.
It almost would have been funny if it was literally Gal Gadot and it just didn't show her face.
And then just at the very end, like she shows up or something. But then it turns around and it's Jimon Hansu's face
screaming at Billy.
And that's a great joke. That's fucking hilarious. And I've seen a few funny memes where, you know, the scene in BVS where Batman Ben Affleck finds the picture of World War II. Or sorry, World War I Wonder Woman with her friends.
Yeah.
From the movie.
And Trevor?
Yeah.
Steve Trevor. Yeah.
But it's Jimon Hansu instead on her body. And he's like, what is this?
That's pretty funny. Also, in this movie, I feel like Freddy was kind of like the main character.
Well, see, Freddy had a lot to do. He carried the B plot. And
I feel like he had more screen time than anyone else.
He had more screen time than Asher Angel, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's almost always
Shazam. I feel like he had more screen time than Zachary Levi, too. It felt like it.
I don't know about that.
Maybe just his plot just stood out more to me. But Freddy was great.
What about the opening sequence with Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu?
Lucy Liu. That
the museum, she turns everyone into sand.
It almost felt like the beginning of Black Panther.
Yeah, but they don't turn everyone to sand.
No, but they go in a museum and take an artifact and kill a bunch of people.
It wasn't even the beginning. That happens like halfway through the movie.
That happens at the beginning of... Does that not happen at the beginning?
No, it's like a third of the way in or something
shit.
Like that.
Oh, shit. The beginning of Black Panther is like the flashbacks.
Yeah, all that stuff.
But I thought it was a pretty cool intro. It was surprising how just willing this film was to just kill innocent people.
Love it. Why not?
Like just on screen. Just like, all right, they're dead.
There's so many things that I feel like...
It's not something you're used to seeing in a superhero movie.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like superhero movies are... I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, they've gotten soft. But by virtue of there being so many superhero movies now, and because like they are ultimately for kids, we start asking the questions of like, well, who can kill and who can't kill? When before we wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Right.
You know? And so for this movie to just be like, no, like these bitches just killed a bunch of innocent
people. They're villains.
They're going to do it. What are they going to just like they're all those people are gonna be okay at the end? No.
No, no.
Especially that annoying one. He's dead.
The tour guy?
Yeah.
That poor man.
I felt bad when he came back and like begged for his life.
Why do you run back to them?
Yeah, man, you just like
hide in a corner or something. That's your best bet. You're probably gonna die anyway, but yeah, it's fucked up.
Each of them had like their own superpower, and I couldn't keep them. Helen Mirren was like elemental, which I don't know what that means.
The elements
unclear.
Earth, wind, fire, air.
Yeah, sure, but still, is she an avatar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lucy Liu was she could like control people.
She had the power from that TV show comic book by My Chemical Romance guy.
That TV show comic book by
Umbrella Academy.
Oh, okay.
The one that she can like.
I've never seen it.
You haven't seen Umbrella Academy?
No.
Oh, I've only seen season one. But anyway, one of their superpowers is that she can whisper something in your mind and then you do it. She's persuasive.
It's like an Inception thing.
Yeah. It's literally the same superpower.
It's literally named in the movie, but I can't remember what it is. It's the power of. And I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the third one coming? The third sister? It's like a little plot twist.
It was a little bit of a surprise to me, but like not really because I saw in the trailer that she had powers.
That's the thing, but like I forgot. So I saw an interview with her a long time ago and she's like, oh yeah, I'm playing like a villain. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then like and I forgot about it. So when it happened in the movie, I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming, but now I remember.
Yeah, like in the film, it surprised me, but marketing spoiled it for me.
I thought there was some good twists in this. Small ones, not big ones.
No, nothing like
You know what I really
shattering.
You know what I really like is that they treated the three sisters a little more three-dimensionally.
Because
they start infighting.
They start infighting. You kind of figure out that Helen Mirren's character isn't like straight up evil.
Well, I thought, that surprised me because I thought she was straight up evil, but she's a little empathetic.
Yeah. Like when they get the apple, like Helen Mirren is like, no, plant it in our garden. Like all we want is our world back.
Right.
And she don't, Lucy Liu's like, I'm going to go fucking kill all the humans.
Right. She's like a warlord, basically. Yeah. She wants a war.
There's betrayal. And honestly, it was good. It was like the villains had their own little C plot.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote down one is evil, one is relatable, and one's sympathetic.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to feel for the girl, the young one.
Yeah. She kind of doesn't really agree with them much to begin with.
Yeah. I really like that Shazam made the joke that they're all wildly different ages.
Yeah. He's like, the age gap's really weird.
I thought he was going to say ages and races, but he only said ages.
Yeah. Also, they're all sisters, but they're all completely different races.
Right. It's like one's like Anglo.
So they
like one's British.
They're clearly like half siblings, right? Because they all probably share the same father.
Well, they're gods.
Yeah, but they're all daughters of
Atlas.
Atlas probably went around fucking everyone.
Sure.
They probably have a bunch of siblings that don't have powers.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, one of those. It's like a Zeus situation.
Yeah, Zeus did do that. Yeah. It's canon.
So let's keep on breaking it down. Story, the themes I was saying. In this movie, Billy is finding his family because in the last one, he's like a loner.
He doesn't like
the foster system. He doesn't want to make friends.
No, like when he got to this new family, he's like, oh, I'm probably going to be like cycled out of here in like a week. It doesn't even matter.
But now he's gone full on the other end of the spectrum.
Like, he's scared to lose them.
Right. Because he found his family. He loves them and he wants to keep them all together. He doesn't want to be alone anymore.
Right.
At all. To the point where he is very dependent on his family now.
Super codependent.
Yeah. And Freddy just wants a little bit more independence.
Just a little bit.
Not even that much.
Yeah.
Just a little bit every now and then.
He's like, Billy, you're smothering me.
But all Billy wants to do, he says, no, we're either all Shazam or nobody Shazam.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's cute, but at the same time.
It's cute. Like, it's very earnest, and he's clearly has good intentions. But, but, you know, everybody's got stuff going on in their own lives. You can't always be together all the time.
Yeah,
because he doesn't understand this yet, but they're not gonna abandon him,
right?
Because he later in the movie he gets scared as like, oh, I'm about to turn 18, like
they're gonna kick him
out. I'm gonna get kicked out of the house.
Well, that's the other thing. He doesn't really want to get too comfortable with his foster mom.
Yeah,
he won't call her mom.
No,
but. It's
but when
not,
he does,
I know
it's actually very touching
because it's not for lack of love. It's because he doesn't want to get burned again because he was abandoned by his mother.
Right.
And he doesn't want to...
At a Christmas fair.
Right. And he doesn't want to, like, fall for a new mother figure and then have her abandon him too. And then only for at the very end for her to be like, I would never do that. You can be... We're family.
Right. She genuinely loves him.
Yeah. That's very heartwarming.
Yes. And that is the scene where I started getting emotional. Like, I was like, oh my God, that hits me.
Yeah, he was definitely...
He was abandoned twice by his mother. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. And then the city rejected him.
Yeah, that scene with
the newspaper,
with the pediatrician, was actually pretty good. And I also like that Shazam kind of explains the entire plot of the first movie in that scene. So that's like our recap right there.
That's the other thing. It's like, do people remember the first movie that
it's
well?
Been,
you know,
it's been a while.
You have to kind of retouch some of the bits.
Yeah.
There's a running gag through this movie that I fucking loved, that Shazam doesn't know what his own name is.
Yeah.
Because the meta joke is that for so long, people didn't know what Shazam's name was. And
is it Captain
we talked
Marvel?
About
is it a Shazam? Like, yeah.
Yeah, there's been all this confusion about his name because of legal battles and then confusion with Marvel.
Yeah.
Is it the wizard's name Shazam? Is his name is Shazam? And so I love that throughout this whole movie, he doesn't know what his name is. And he has to ask the wizard Shazam at the end. He's like, it's Shazam.
And he like laughs when he says, he's like, it's Shazam.
Yeah.
Like, duh.
But here's the thing, though. Does this kind of break the canon a little bit? What are the rules now? Because if you said Shazam, you would transform.
Maybe it's the way you say it. You have to yell it.
I'm leaning towards that because here's the thing, though. In Black Adam, don't forget, they trick him into saying Shazam.
Oh, shit. Yep. Well, Black Adam doesn't fucking count for anything. Non-canon.
Okay, cool.
Fuck it.
I think it's more that Black Adam's an idiot.
He is. Okay. He is. He absolutely is. He's a meathead.
I think maybe it is a little bit with some sort of intent, maybe. Because you can't just be... I don't know. I just feel like it would come up in conversation.
Oh, yeah. My name's Shazam. I love the running joke throughout the movie with the dad wondering why the house keeps getting hit by lightning.
I didn't remember that they don't know that the kids are Shazam. And so I thought that's just something that he said or whatever. But like, no, he literally doesn't know why the house keeps getting hit with lightning. That's a great joke.
Because he's like on the phone at the beginning. He's like, why my house keeps getting hit by lightning? Like,
oh, back to the whole name thing. The cameo by TV's Michael Gray.
Yes, there is. And that makes me really glad that we did that Shazam episode.
Hell yeah. So listen to that. But they got the guy. That's the kid. The guy who plays the Billy Batson in the 70s.
Yeah, the guy that looked 30 years old in the 70s.
Well, yeah. Now, well, he was, how old was he? Like 24?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. But they put him in the shirt.
The stupid fucking...
The long sleeve shirt with the yellow cuffs. It's a red shirt with the yellow cuffs.
And like yellow like collar too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous looking, but it's unmistakable.
Yeah. So it's him and a couple other bystanders, and they're all calling Shazam different names because they don't know what his name is.
Right.
Yet.
And then he yells like, you're the best, Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I love that. And I apparently, like, they weren't sure they had considered whether they could legally do that.
Oh.
If they could say Captain Marvel. And it came down to, I guess, Sandberg saying,
fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Because Marvel has made references to DC in their movies.
Yeah. Remember when Peter Parker yells Shazam?
Well, yeah.
When he's trying to make his web good?
Yeah, that too. But I'm talking more recently. Like, they've made references to Batman and Superman.
Oh, yeah. And Eternals.
And Guardians Holiday Special.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think what they're thinking was, as long as it's in good faith, then it's fine, probably. They're not going to come knocking down and suing, right?
One would hope.
Yeah. And this one is probably the least worse because, like, his character's name was literally Captain Marvel.
Right.
For, like, 70 years.
Yeah. It's. I'm sure DC would win that legal battle.
I don't think it's a big deal.
It's not. It's not.
Again, and you've got the character who played Captain Marvel in a way. You know, he's the one saying it, or the actor who played him.
And this is like a really fun, similar to like what they did in the Incredible Hulk movie where they had Lou Ferrigno in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like just something fun like that.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Oh, here's the thing I didn't like. I didn't like that they killed him at the end to do a resurrection.
Here's the thing, though. That plot point kind of worked for me because I was like, oh, is this how they're going to not do any more Shazam movies? Is this how they're just not going to worry about it anymore?
I hate movies that kill a character only to bring him back 5 minutes later. It's completely pointless.
But it worked in the plot, I think.
I even didn't like it when they did it in BVS, only because... Well, it works in BVS because it's literally the entire plot of the next movie is predicated on bringing Superman back from the dead, right?
Right. I think the plot of the next movie would have been stronger if you didn't show that he was still, like, kind of alive, though. I don't know. They shouldn't have made the rocks float.
That's my only complaint about that. It was the rocks.
Because if they didn't do that, that would have been much better.
I think what they're trying to project is, like, obviously we wouldn't kill Superman. But that should be obvious with or without the rocks, that you're not going to actually kill Superman.
Right.
It's fucking Superman, you know? But also, Superman needed the whole, because he's a Jesus character, right? So, like, you needed the whole death and resurrection thing. For him.
It's part of his development.
Yeah. But for Shazam, you don't need that. I thought that was silly.
But it brought Wonder Woman into the movie.
Yeah, but you could have just done that for a million other reasons.
They used her demigod powers.
Yeah. Look, I like this movie a lot. It's just that was the one thing
you got hung up on.
I didn't really need to be there.
I think I liked it only because in the moment I was like, oh my God, they actually killed him.
Sure.
And that's because of my knowledge of knowing that they're rebooting the DC universe. So I'm like, I guess they killed him and that's it.
See, yeah, you're bringing more stuff in, though. But imagine this movie, this very lighthearted family fun movie, ends on him dying like that.
I mean, did you hate when Tony Stark survived in the first Avengers after throwing the nuke into space?
No, but he doesn't die.
He could have.
Yeah, he could have, but he didn't. You know what I mean? That's different.
I guess. Do you hate when Loki comes back every time?
It's a different Loki.
Now it is. He came back, like, what, 3 times prior?
Yeah, no, and it was a problem in phase one because they use it for emotional points, but then by not killing him, then those emotional points are rendered useless.
Until they actually killed him.
Right.
And they even made a little meta comment on it, no resurrections this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Little did he know that he would be back.
And it's his fault, too. It's Thanos' fault. Those events led to...
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Led to that another Loki escaping, which then led to the whole breaking of the
timelines
line.
And then Loki viewing his life up until he died and then changing his ways. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Did Thanos create a superhero?
Well, Thanos kind of, but he also created...
the TVA?
And
the TVA was already around.
Well, no, but Kang escaping now.
Oh, it all goes back to
Thanos. That's all because Thanos wanted that time stone. That's it. Or the Tesseract, I guess.
I guess. Technically.
Okay, so not much to talk about with cinematography, but I did want to mention a couple of things with the edit. Because we were praising this for being a much better edited film than Black Adam, right?
Yes.
There's a small reference to Jurassic Park in this. And this is kind of in my head. I could be wrong, but I want to say, knowing what David S. Sandberg is putting in his movies and the kind of, you know, careful, thoughtful nature of how he puts his movies together, there is a faceless CGI army in this movie, right? Just like every fucking movie nowadays.
Well, I actually really like that army, though, now that you bring it, because it's all like the mythological creatures.
Yeah.
So we had like it looked like minotaurs, Cyclops, unicorns.
Right.
The one with the scorpion tail, Wyvern? Is that what they're called? No, that's like a dragon. No. I'm trying to remember what the ones with, like, the lion's body and the scorpion tail.
Yeah, that's another, like, Greek one.
I know the name, but I can't think of it right now. I'm sure it'll come to me.
If anybody if anybody in the chat wants to look that up real quick.
I'm probably going to look it up myself. Manticore.
Manticore.
Yeah.
Can
the
you
body of a
the...
lion
okay.
and the tail of a dragon or a scorpion.
Oh, interesting. Manticore says Redback Cosplay. Yeah.
Oftentimes, it also has the head of a man.
Yeah. Oh.
This looks similar to the one that we saw in the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's essentially what it was.
But you look at an older depiction, it's like, oh, that's like a human head, and that's really grotesque.
Oh, I don't like the human head. Get that off. get it away. Oh, sorry. Ryback's wrong. It is Manticore.
Manticore. Yeah.
We'll just cut all of that. Oh, so you have to kind of ground that in reality a little bit and make it not so CGI, right?
Yeah.
There is an entire scene where they go and they get unicorns because they realize that they can fight them off with unicorns.
Because
right?
unicorns are actually, like, terrifying.
Yeah. and the unicorns can defeat all the other creatures,
Skittles
apparently.
Skittles product placement.
Yeah, that was fun. But it's
actually done pretty well.
I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. It reminded me of the Krispy Kremes in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But when you meet the unicorns, the movie slows down a lot. And it treats the unicorns like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Where when you meet them, you spend a lot of time just in awe of the creature, even though it is just this big CGI monster, right? And then you spend more time looking at the characters' reactions to this creature. They're in awe. You know, they're marveling on the unicorns, and so are we, the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really, really took me back to the first scene that you see the dinosaurs in. When
Alan Grant looks like he's going to have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When Alan Grant and Ellie Sattler get there and they're on the Jeep, he's like, and they're just like, yeah. And you spend, because you think back to that scene, most of that scene is their reactions.
Yeah.
It's not the creature.
But their reactions speak volumes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's their reactions and how that scene is framed and the sequence of shots that make the dinosaurs feel like they're a big deal. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would just be like, hey, here's this thing we put up on,
hey, look at these
on
puppets.
The screen. It's a puppet. Exactly. So like, if you didn't film it like that, how much different would it be than like when we met Jabba the Hutt? And it's just kind of like, here's a big man on frame. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no majesty. There's no marvel and awe and grandeur to that. But when you create the film language to kind of inform you how to react to the scene, because that's how the other people are reacting to the unicorns. Again, it slows down. They're petting the creature.
They're like really afraid of them at first. And then like,
yeah, I thought that really, really worked for us.
Yeah,
because otherwise the entire third act, or at least half of it, is those unicorns fighting the creatures. And if we didn't stop to care about the creatures and our friends, like the Shazam family that all lost their powers, and that's why they need the unicorns.
And they're running around the streets in fear.
Yeah. Then we wouldn't care about any of that.
Yeah.
And we would only be caring about the dragon and Lucy Liu.
Were you sad when the unicorns disintegrated?
Oh, because they all disintegrated. Yeah. Nah, that's fine.
A little sad.
They play their part.
And she says, "Taste the rainbow, motherfuckers," when she's riding the unicorn.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite part was? Because we were talking about the humor a lot. My favorite character was Steve the Pen.
Steve. That, honestly, when Helen Mirren is reading the letter, that might be
hysterical.
One of the funniest scenes I've seen in a movie.
That was so funny.
Especially when it ends with, anybody want some Gatorade?
Do we have the red one? Okay. It's one of the funniest moments in any DC movie. And like most, if not any Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And honestly, and I feel like
and it might be.
It sucks because who's watching this movie?
I know.
It's like when you tell the best joke ever and no one's around to hear it. And you're stuck with this feeling of like, it could have been so much more. It could have been so much more. It was meant for
you
more.
You were like belly laughing in the theater.
So we all were. We all fucking were. Summer and Sable were too. And Sable fell asleep. Summer didn't want to go to this movie, and then last minute was like, I got nothing else to do, and fucking loved it. Like, it's so sad that such a good joke is wasted in this. But hey, I mean, whatever. Like, hopefully the people see it later on DVD. I don't know.
Oh, what's Real Comic Book Talk got to say?
Real Comic Book Talk is here, says, the wizard was the funniest part to me, especially when he had that look when Fred and Anne were having a moment.
Yeah, that was actually pretty. He's like getting like impatient with them. He's like, all right, like,
yeah. I'm remembering now the whole subplot when they're
like escaping,
they're doing like a prison break.
Yeah.
Freddy and the wizard.
Oh, and the wizard keeps calling Freddy by the wrong name.
That was good.
They call him Freebie.
The humor feels natural. It doesn't feel forced. Like, they don't feel like written jokes.
No.
So much as it feels like these are just funny characters in a funny situation.
Yeah. And that scene with the letter, I think like Helen Mirren's like deadpan delivery of it really helps too. She's like getting more and more confused as she's reading it.
Her rhythm as she's reading it doesn't really, because she's just like reading the words very confused. So it doesn't match what the delivery would have been, which makes it extra funny, I think.
And Lucy Liu's like, what is Gatorade? What weapon is that?
As Helen Mirren is reading it, you can visualize Zachary Levi's delivery of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's the one like saying it. But then you hear other people's voices in the background like, should we proofread it?
Nah.
Nah, Steve's got this. It's so good.
So fucking good.
And like the way that scene plays out also reminds me of an Office episode when is it the deposition? When they're reading back everything Michael Scott said, and it's like just the deadpan delivery of like, can I go to the bathroom now? You just went. That was a lie. Like something, and then that's what she said.
This joke has been done before. It's not an original joke.
No, but
this is the best.
It's really good.
This was the best version of that. I'm thinking of one more example of the same thing with a stenographer. Is it from Always Sunny in Philadelphia? No.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was.
God, but it's going to bother me. So the scene starts on the stenographer and she's reading back. And at the very end, she finally gets to like, okay, read that back to me. Oh, fuck. What movie is that from?
That's pretty funny, actually. read that back to me. And then she reads it back.
Yeah. And then you're back to the beginning. You're like, oh, yeah. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, let me know. But that's going to bother me. Hey guys, it's me from the future. I figured it out. It's from New Girl, season 3, episode 19, when Schmidt gets sued and Nick and Winston are their lawyers, and it's hilarious. Just go watch it. Music. I don't really remember the music. I think it was good.
It didn't bother me, but it didn't stand out to me either, unfortunately.
The action I thought was good. Honestly, like
it was good, like superhero action.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. There was a fight scene that kind of was impressive. I think it was in the with like Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu.
They're fighting each other?
I think I mentioned this, but the action sequences, I like that they break them up a little bit, even in the third act, especially in the third act, actually.
Even though there's a lot of action in the third act,
it takes little breaks and really good spots so that it doesn't feel like it's all one big clusterfuck of action.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. The costumes last, before we move on to the post-credit scenes, they look good. It's the same shit, only now they don't have the little hoods. And I think I missed the hoods. I like that.
They didn't wear the hoods, though, did they?
No, they never wore
them. It was just on the cape?
It was on the cape. But, I don't know, Shazam's little hood kind of sets him apart from every other cape, I think.
I think so, you know? Too.
Black Adam had the hood, though. He wore it for a minute.
I think I liked Shazam's costume more than in the first movie. Because in the first movie, it felt like his lightning bolt had, like, lights on it. It was weird.
Yeah, it lit up. These lit up, too.
They lit up, but, like, I don't know. The one in the first movie felt more... It didn't feel magical. It felt like a suit.
Yeah. Oh, you know what kind of vibes I got when they were in their lair? And, Ninja Turtles.
You know what? It is a lot like the Turtles, little hangout spot.
They're in the sewers, and they have
like
it
an
all
arcade cabinet there. And
it's all decorated. They got lights and graffiti and shit.
Look how they have graffiti over like all the ancient statues.
Yeah.
They just made it their own place.
Anyway, post-credit scene. So there's two. There's a mid-credit scene and a post-credit scene. In the mid-credit scene, Billy meets Amelia Harcourt and John Economos, characters from The Suicide Squad and Peacemaker.
Yes. James Gunn's characters, basically.
Yes.
Which I feel like that scene might be a good sign for the future Shazam.
I think this scene is not going to be canon anymore.
I think this would be the one that would be.
No.
Because this feels like this was added late.
No.
No?
No. Because this was the same. Remember, this scene mirrors the last one in Black Adam, apparently Harcourt and Economos, again working for
Amanda Waller,
are putting together a Justice Society.
I guess a new Justice Society,
or more members of the same Justice Society. Right?
They got to replace Dr. Fate.
Well, the helmet would go to someone else now, so someone else would replace.
I would assume Hawkman would have taken it.
Well, doesn't the helmet like choose someone else or someone?
Oh,
or something?
It does. It does.
Yeah, it's gonna fly away, and I don't know. And then there's Hawkman, right? And then they would have assembled another team, and then here Billy would have been like, because he thought he was gonna be the Justice League, and then he's like, oh, the Justice, because he just wants to be with.
He wants
Wonder
to be Wonder
Woman.
He's got an obsession.
And
with
now
it.
He's like, wait, you're putting me on the Justice Society, and why is that different? What I do like about this,
the Avengers joke.
Yeah, there's an Avengers joke. That's probably what more they were thinking about than Captain Marvel, was putting in an Avengers joke.
Yeah.
But is making kind of fun of Justice Society versus Justice League and why there's two teams that both sound exactly the same.
He pulls out a thesaurus and starts suggesting new names.
Well, it kind of goes back to like the history of this. Like Justice Society was the original team from 1940.
Yeah.
With characters like Spectre, Atom.
Was Hawkman an original
member? Hawkman, okay. Yeah. So Green Lantern and The Flash, but the original versions, not the ones that we know now.
Even before Hal Jordan.
Yeah, so it's okay. Alan Scott. And they had wildly different costumes, too. And Jay Garrick, Flash.
Jay Garrick had the silly
hat.
Had
the big hat, yeah. They were on the Justice Society. Also, Batman and Superman were on it, but like unofficially, right? Because it wasn't their team or whatever.
Yeah.
That goes on for a bit. And then 20 years later is when the Justice League gets formed in 1960. And okay. That has Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
It's the one that's become more iconic.
Yeah. Flash, Green Lantern, and Martian Manhunter. Later, sometimes Cyborg. And also the roster is always changing. There's additional members.
Just like
also.
With the Avengers.
Yeah. But because the Justice League is like a spiritual sequel to the Justice Society, having them both coexist at the same time is a little bit strange.
It is.
And so I like that at least he makes fun of that, right? But the reason I was saying is like it's kind of clear to me that this is them trying to like form like another team, trying to push more of these movies together and kind of like, hey, we got to build to the next thing, right?
Okay.
And they're building to a Justice Society movie instead of a Justice League movie. And then maybe they thought about doing a Justice League versus Justice Society or something silly or one big team up
JL versus JS.
Yeah. But I think all of that comes to a screeching halt now with James Gunn's reboot. I think these are the last of the threads from before.
So everything's going to become irrelevant thanks to Barry Allen in universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
Way to go, Barry. Fucked up the timeline again.
Yeah. But that movie's going to be good, apparently.
Yeah, I hate that I think it looks really good.
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
And apparently Tom Cruise thinks it's the greatest thing he's ever seen or something.
Oh, yeah. Tom Cruise saw it.
And called the director.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is a big film nerd, too.
Yeah. I didn't even think Tom Cruise gave a shit about superhero movies.
I didn't either, actually. I mean, he wasn't in Doctor Strange, which we really thought he would be.
And apparently he was never even considered.
God damn it. No, I think he was on a short list.
Was he on a short list?
Yeah.
They just never called him.
But yeah, it never came to fruition. Okay, the post-credit scene. I'm going to blow your mind real quick. This might be my favorite post-credit scene of anything, period, ever.
What?
Yes. 1,000,000%. It's not even close. Name the best post-credit scene. I think this is better.
Damn, okay.
I think this is better. Here's why. Because post-credit scenes are stupid. They're stupid.
Well, they're just usually either a joke or a tease.
Right.
And that's what they're meant to be. It's fine.
They're completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's just to like wet your whistle a little bit, right? It's just to tease you
I
up.
Love them.
Sure.
I live for them.
But you know they're stupid. There's a stupid thing you like.
Yeah, it's just you a know? Dumb thing I like. I'll sit through the credits.
It's
I don't
like
care.
Candy. Like, you know candy's completely unnecessary for your life, but you like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This makes fun of post-credit scene. This is closest to the time Captain America was like, it's time you learn patience.
That one pissed people off, too.
It's meta. This was so fucking meta because it's making fun of how post-credits, it's such a, like a weird responsibility that
they
like,
have to pay off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why?
Well, the Mortal one never did. I'm still upset about that.
Well, kinda, because we skipped that movie.
Yeah, that movie just happened, I guess, off screen.
Mordo fought Doctor Strange off screen. That's all you need to know. But in this one, so in the last movie, they set up at the post credits, it was Dr. Savannah after he was like caught, he's in prison, and he's visited by Mr. Mind, who is a talking slug.
Who was in the last post credit scene?
I'm describing the last post credit scene, not this one.
Oh, God.
By the way. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
And they're like going to form a plan together. And then obviously, this movie had nothing to do with that. It's like there's an expectation on post credit scenes that they have to be beholden to predict what the next movie is going to be, even though obviously that's not how they write movies.
Right.
You don't write the next movie while you write the first movie. That'd be too difficult for the most part.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have big plans. Like you have got a Kevin Feige figure who's telling you, yeah, the next movie is vaguely going to be about this. So vaguely tease that.
Right.
You know, in this post-credit scene, Dr. Savannah is still waiting for Mr. Mind.
He's still. It's been 2 years.
Yeah. Mr. Mime shows up and Savannah's like, oh, you're back. Thank God. You've left me here for 2 years. What's the plan? And Mr. Mime's like, oh, actually, I got to go again.
Yeah, he's like, there's one more thing I need to do.
And he just leaves them. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm really slow. We're really slow people because we're slugs or whatever the fuck we are.
You know, he's like, do you understand how long it takes me to get places?
And then he's like, actually, I got to go somewhere. And he doesn't tell him any more information. And it's like, I feel like if they made 10 more Shazam movies, each fucking post-credit scene would be Mr. Mind coming back and being like, okay, here's the plan.
The funniest part is that Mark Strong came back for this.
I love it so much. I can't tell you how much I love this fucking post-credit scene. Because it's like, imagine...
It's a really good joke.
Imagine if every post-credit scene had to be important. You get ones like... Because in my opinion, not all Marvel post-credit scenes are canon. Because some of them just don't make any goddamn sense. I'll give you the biggest one is Thanos at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, about courting death and the smile?
No, that's the first
one. Oh, Age
of
Ultron. Oh, I'll do it myself.
Yeah. What is he referring to? Where did he get the gauntlet from? Because later it's retcon that he got the gauntlet in a different place.
That was just a silly tease, I think.
It's a silly tease, but is it canon? Did that happen
in
real life?
Where even is he?
Like, he's in some white room. What white room? What is that?
Maybe it's right after he killed all the dwarves.
Yeah, he put it away and then he waited. And then he's like, oh, actually, you know what? I will do it myself. What's he referring to? Did he watch the movie with us?
And yeah.
To me, that scene doesn't make any
sense. He's like, man, Ultron sucks. I guess I'll kill the Avengers.
Yeah. But that's not his motivation anyway.
No,
he doesn't even know about
that happening.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
You're right. Okay.
To me, that scene is just like, whatever. It's supposed to make you excited. Oh, here's Thanos. We didn't forget about him. But at the same time, that event just did not happen.
Well, a lot of stuff in Age of Ultron also just didn't pay off.
I mean, a little bit.
Mostly the Thor stuff, actually.
No, but then later on, he said he had like a whole vision quest.
I guess it happened off screen.
Yeah. Sure. No, but this scene I think is just genius. It's so meta. It's just making fun of itself, which is great. Mm. It's making fun of post-credit scenes. It's making fun of this weird expectation we have to set up the next thing, you know.
I love that after we watched it too, somebody in the theater went audibly said, "What the fuck was that?"
I love it. I'm sorry, man. If it doesn't piss off half the people in the theater, then it wasn't a big enough swing.
Here's the thing. It was also like people might have just forgotten about the last post-credit
scene. Of course
they
did.
So they were probably like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like,
of course they did. And then they have to like go online and be like, post-credit scene explain. And then some fucking jack-off articles on Screen Rant's like, well, the first thing you need to know is that in 2019's Shazam, Mr. Mime was invented. Like, it's a stupid, silly thing. That's right. All you need to know.
Not everything needs to matter, if that makes sense.
Look, number one.
I don't know if it's my number one post-credit scene, but I will say it's a funny joke.
If you can name a better one, I'm all open for yours. Look, number two is Samuel L. Jackson coming in at the first Avengers. Or the first Iron Man.
I think that's my favorite.
Because that had the biggest implication. It set up the bigger universe. And we're going to say, like, hey, we're getting the Avengers. We're getting all the characters in one universe, which had never happened before. Sure.
Yeah, because when that happened, I was so young. I'm like, what does that mean? My dad was excited.
Yeah. I mean,
because I'm like, bigger universe. Like, are they going to connect movies or something?
Right.
Like,
Showing Thanos. That was great, too. That's a great one at the end of the Avengers.
That was a good one. It was not the best looking Thanos, but it served its purpose.
But I'm sorry, this is just this is so deliciously meta, so funny, so self-deprecating. I love it. I love it so much.
Red Bat says the biggest post-credit letdown was Sinestro and Green Lantern.
Well, you know what?
That movie was a letdown.
Good for Mark Strong to come back.
Yeah, because he was Sinestro, right?
He was Sinestro, yeah. God, yeah, we're going to talk about that. We got to do that soon.
Were we going to tie that in with anything? Because I don't think that Lantern show comes out for a while.
Well, fuck. Well, shit, man. I don't know. Maybe we just do it. So anyway, you got anything else? I think I'm pretty, that covers all my bases for this movie.
I think we're pretty well covered on this. I mean, there's just a few more fun jokes in the movie that are kind of deep cuts, like, not even really deep cuts, but like, you know, Freddy says something along the lines of like Destiny's Child did it better when Lucy Liu told him to like tell him like the names. She's like, say the names. And then Freddy's like, he's like being tortured in his mind, but he's still like, Destiny's Child did it better.
Is that a, like a say my name reference?
That's what I took it
okay,
as.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Got it. There was another deep cut reference. What was it? We talked about it. It wasn't just Destiny's Child. It was something else too.
No, this was it another thing Freddy said?
I think so.
He had a lot of quips.
Oh,
smart ass.
Well, I mean, this isn't so much as a reference as I think it's just something that's clever in the writing, is that when he meets Anne and they're walking, he says something is inside baseball.
Oh.
Inside, if you don't know, inside baseball is like really, really deep into the analytics of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Inside baseball became known as like a phrase for when you're really in the weeds of something, like you're deep in it and you're maybe like overanalyzing and overexplaining.
Oh, it's like what we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he says something is like the inside baseball of whatever.
Of superheroes?
Maybe.
Something
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's his thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Only for like so many references to also be like to understand the Captain Marvel thing with fucking Michael Gray.
TV's Michael Gray.
That's a deep, deep, deep cut.
It is.
Like that's the inside baseball of this. And then the post credit scene like is just so deep, so meta.
Yeah. Damn. Like I wish more people watched this movie.
I loved it.
Which I guess brings us to, did we like the movie? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I absolutely,
I think that's safe to say.
I absolutely love this movie. I think it's gonna have a special place in my heart. These two movies back to back, I think, have so much heart.
Mm-hmm.
Something I think it gets really well is the family aspect. These characters are very believable.
It does family better than Fast and Furious does.
Yeah, and I think that's what redeems that joke. Because in the context of... it's a little cringy in the trailer.
In the trailer, yeah, but like in the context of the movie, it works.
Because that's what the whole movie's about. It's about him and his family and how important his family has become. And in the same sense as Fast and Furious, they're not a real family, but they're family that they've created. Because they're foster brothers, right? And sisters. Yeah.
And they care about each other deeply. Yeah. They love each other.
Oh.
It's very cute.
I liked when they're all like, all right, guys, we're going to say our secrets. And I forget his name. I wrote it down.
He's like I'm gay.
And everyone's like,
yeah, we know, buddy.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's not it. We're Shazam. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, they just look at him like, we know.
Yeah. But even.
He's like, you do?
Yeah. Even that could have been a cringy joke.
It worked.
It works because you buy that they're a family.
Yeah, like, they don't care that he's gay.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal.
It's not, like I said earlier, it's not breaking the mold. It's not that remarkable in any way as far as superhero movies go, but it's executed very, very well.
I think the unfavorable reviews are like, they're actually kind of upsetting to me just because like I just couldn't disagree with them more.
It's one of those where, and I'm kind of rarely the one saying this, but it's one of those where I'm just like, just fucking go outside and touch grass. Like, get over it. Like, I can't think of a movie that you could just turn your brain off and enjoy it more, you know, and we're sitting here overanalyzing it, but this is a movie that it's not made for that, right?
No, but it surprisingly still works for that.
You're supposed to just go and feel it. You're not supposed to think it. You're supposed to feel this movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about
family.
Family. So, yeah, I love this. And what are we doing next, Birdo?
Are we doing Mario Brothers?
We're doing Mario Brothers, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers, the movie?
I think it's just called Super Mario Brothers.
I think there might be a movie.
I think the new one is called the movie.
Oh, God. Okay.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Okay. Well, there you go. Also, we're going to be doing mini episodes on, for whatever reason, the Fast and the Furious movies. For a couple reasons, we release these kind of far apart. So just to give you a little bit something in the middle there.
Vroom.
Between, yeah. You know, Birdo really wanted to watch these movies, and I was like, I've watched like three, so might as well. It's one of those, if you can't beat them, join them situations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and even for me, like, they're definitely guilty pleasures. Like, I'll admit that.
I don't know. I don't know if they're...
I don't know if there's pleasure in it.
Yeah, I don't know how pleasurable it is, but I don't know. We're knocking those out pretty fast, and
pretty furious about it.
About it. So you got that to look forward to. But anyway, guys... We will see you next time Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to that piano dude for our musical intro. Make sure you leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get these podcasts. And tell a friend, please. And thank you if you have told a friend. You can support the show on Patreon, where you can access our outtakes episodes. We have 3 of them out, and before you know it, we'll have a 4th. I got it working in there. I'm sure we said a bunch of dumb shit in this episode that'll end up on there.
We've talked a lot of dumb shit in this episode. Like what I'm saying right now.
You shouldn't even be speaking. I'm just kidding. I'm thinking when I ever get to Sable's episode, it'll have its own outtakes because it's so much stuff.
She was saying last night she's very upset that it's still not edited.
I don't have any time.
She said she'll do it herself.
God.
I don't think she will, but...
Also, the file was broken. I got to recreate it. It's a whole thing.
Oh, God.
And you can get access to our second podcast called Where's Mephisto? Birdo, where are we looking for Mephisto?
Currently, we're looking for Mephisto in The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian Season 3.
Yeah, it's going strong right now.
Yeah, we're doing that weekly. So, 8 episodes, 8 Where's Mephisto's on Mandalorian. We've done Andor. We've done several Marvel shows. That's on our Patreon. It's linked below. If you want to hang out with us, guys, we stream all these episodes live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/filmsfrompz Monday nights. If you like the show and you want to be a part of it, you want to be a literal part of it and actually talk to us while we do it, just like our friends Honey Badger, Redback Cosplay, Real Comic Book Talk, Arculus, Jorge, Philly to the J. Who else
Birdo's
is here?
Number one fan forever.
Damn.
that is their name. I didn't make that up.
It sounds made up, though.
It does sound made up.
I could convince people it's made up.
It's not.
Thank you guys for participating. And if you want to talk to us throughout the week, we have a Discord server. That one's free. You can just click below and join Discord, and you can talk to us all week long about news, memes, all kinds of shit. You can find us on Instagram at Films from the Phantom Zone, Twitter, Films from PZ. And guys, if you are local to the Florida area and you are going to MegaCon, we are also going to MegaCon. So, if you want to say hi to us, join our Discord and we can maybe all say hi to each other.
Figure something out. Maybe.
We'll figure something out. I know we're going to meet up with a couple guys, so that'd be a lot of fun. We're also hanging out with Blake from Blake's Takes.
Blake's Takes will be there.
Yeah, we'll be with him if he doesn't try to ditch us.
Well, I know he wants to meet Nev Campbell.
Oh,
he's definitely going to ditch us.
He's
going to
get in line. He's going to ditch us for the one and only Nev Campbell.
He loves her.
All these episodes are available on YouTube. And that's it for us. You guys, we will see you next week. Mario, we'll be doing some Mario stuff.
Yes, Mario next week.
Whatever that movie's called. You know the one.
Super Mario Brothers.
It's
from the 90s.
The one from the 90s, yeah. That one.
Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.